So, how's everybody feeling and doing this morning? Better and better. Reminds me of Joseph Daniel Clipper used to say, every day in every way, I'm getting better and better. Or he would say, every day in every way, I'm getting gooder and gooder. I like the gooder and gooder part. So, yeah, hopefully everyone is doing fine, doing well, doing good. But most importantly, I hope that you have a great support system. A few people, don't have to be many, could be even just one, but people that you check in with from time to time. People that you can relate to when you need to have, you know, another soul to be present to your experience, to your life. Because it's essential for your state of well-being, your sense of well-being, to have that support system. You have your crew, your homies, your backup crowd, whatever it is. But it's important for each of us, especially during these times and days, for us to make sure that we feel that we've got support. We've got a strong foundation in back of us, behind us, underneath us, all around us. I didn't know this, but did you know that May was Mental Health Month? You didn't know that? Okay, all right, it's just me then. Okay, that's fine. But I didn't know that until a few days ago. And I thought, that is so interesting. I know we have March Women's History Month, and we have African American History Month in February. But anyway, May, Mental Health Month. And I thought, boy, we sure could all become more aware of our mental health, right? Just being aware of our mental health, especially since things like there's a rise in anxiety and depression and stress and fear and people feeling overwhelmed by all of that is taking place. And it's all in the collective atmosphere. You may not be experiencing, but it's out there and it's heavy, right? And so the question that I have is, how well are you taking care of yourself? How well are you taking care of yourself? That's become very important for me, and I'm making a concerted and a conscious effort to take care of my state of well-being, to become aware of what is happening in my inner domain. How am I feeling today, right? Is your inner world balanced? And is it fit enough for you to be able to take you through this powerful time of transformation? Because change or transformation can be a rocky situation, right? An experience. Even though we know in the end that it will ultimately serve us well and we'll be doing well, like a baby trying to bring new teeth. You know, we know that they're going to enjoy having a full set of teeth so they can chew that food. But that process of getting there, right, can be challenging, maybe even painful. But we all have to go through certain experiences that we know on the other side is going to be just great. But the process of going through might challenge us a bit. So the question I want to ask is, how are you taking care of yourself so that you have this sense of this ability that your inner world is strong enough, that you are fit enough mentally, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, to be able to go through, because we're going through it. Now, there's some stuff when, you know, people say, I'm going through it. That's okay. The operative words are what? Going through it. So we're not camping out. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We're not pitching tents in this experience. We're moving through it. But we must be mentally fit to move through these transformative times. And so are you doing the things that bring you grace and ease, a little setup as you know, are you taking your nourishment, things that are feeding your soul, feeding your spirit, giving you some strength that you can keep on keeping on? Are you doing those things with grace that bring you grace and ease? Are you doing the things that bring you some joy and lightheartedness? What are the things that you like to do that just pick your spirits up, that give you an extra little boost, a little charge? Are you doing those things? The question I'm asking is, how are you minding your mind? How are you minding your mind? Minding your mind can be as simple as noting the quality of your thoughts, right? And just what the effects of holding or having particular thoughts in your head, what are they producing in your life? You want to mind your mind, the quality of the thoughts. And by the quality, I mean, are they positive? Are the thoughts that you're holding, are they positive or are they negative? Are they fearful or are they exciting, you know, fearless, faithful? Are they thoughts where you're comparing yourself to everything? Are they judgmental thoughts? Are they beautiful thoughts? What are the quality of thoughts? Because these quality of thoughts that you're having are going to have a direct relationship to the experience that you're having, right? In other words, what I'm asking is, what is the emotional energy behind your thoughts? Because behind every thought, there is an emotional energy. An energy that is felt in your physical being, as well as your spiritual and psychological state of being. There's an energy behind your thoughts. We already know in New Thought that thoughts are things. They carry energy, substance, wisdom, right? They're not just idle things that pass through, but there's an energy behind the thought. And that energy also produces a feeling sometimes. So there's a symbiotic relationship between your thoughts and your feelings. And so when you're thinking your feelings, how do you feel thinking those things? When you're thinking certain things, how do you feel thinking those things? Do you feel good? Do you feel excited? Do you feel down? Do you feel depressed? Do you feel hopeless? Do you feel like, yeah, come on, bring it on? How do you feel thinking the thoughts that you think? Very powerful. There's an attachment, an emotional intelligence, an emotional energy that is attached to your thoughts and your feelings. So with this symbiotic relationship, there's an interplay. Your feelings can affect your thoughts affect your feelings. But make no mistakes, your thoughts are a major component to your inner experience. Now, the thing is, very often we don't think our thoughts consciously. Do you know that? There are times when we're thinking consciously, when we're planning, when we're sitting down and we're trying to think. But there are times when we are not conscious even of our own thoughts. Or their own thinking, it's on automatic. The mind is just what? Going from one thing to the next. And we're not necessarily conscious. We're just following wherever the mind is going. It's wandering here and wandering here. And we're not really conscious of even of what we're thinking. But your thoughts will have a major impact on your experience. They are the influences of your emotions. They're the influences of your perceptions and on the take that you have about life. Or what take do you have? What are your beliefs about your reality or about what's real for you? Your thoughts and your feelings are going to have an effect on your perceptions, on your beliefs, on how you see things, and thus how you experience things. It's a powerful notion. Have you ever said to someone that you were going through something or you were feeling something and you were sharing what you were going through and what you were feeling, and they said to you, well, it's all in your head? I said that to my mama this morning, but anyway. But they said, it's all in your head. And you felt either upset maybe, or maybe a little angry about that, or maybe you felt misunderstood, or you felt that you weren't heard correctly, or that you were invalidated, your whole being, your thoughts, and there was an invalidation of your being. Well, the long and the short of it is that it's true. Yes. It's all in your head. It's all in your head. Now, let me be clear. I'm not talking about physical maladies that may come up, pop up, you know, in your body that you know that you are experiencing. And you may have even gone to doctors and they tell you they can't find anything because the tests don't show anything. So therefore, it must be what? All in your head. But I'm saying, you know your being more than anybody else. So if that occurs to you, keep pressing forward. Don't take that for a no. If you feel something is not right physically, keep pressing with that until it is adequately addressed. Because I should have done that. I did not do that. I kind of knew something was wrong, and I kept asking for these tests, these sonograms. I had two within a couple of months, and they didn't really show anything. Well, one time they did show something, but the doctor kind of missed it. So it was, it's all in your head. But I'm like, but it's also in my body. But okay. Be vigilant. And responding accordingly. So that's not what I'm talking about when I say it's all in your head. But what I am speaking of is that when we have certain psychological, emotional, certain things come up, that I'm speaking about the perceptions, your perceptions about what is occurring. I'm talking about what it is that you're telling yourself about what is happening, because that is all in your head. That's what you are telling yourself. That is your perceptions of what you believe or feel or think that is occurring. But it's happening here within you. I know a person that no matter what is happening or what is about to happen with them, they see it from an absolute, the worst angle. They see it from the worst angle. It's always about what can go wrong, what could go wrong, what could happen. And that's where the focus is, on the worst that could happen. Okay? And likewise, I also have a friend who, no matter what is happening or what has happened, they always reframe it for a positive outlook for themselves. They reframe it in a positive light. And so we have a good time. It's with a group, and sometimes we're playing cards, and maybe the person lost or whatever, and they'll say, "Well, I had a great experience of learning." So it's not about me losing; it's about me learning this great experience. Whatever it is, they're gonna turn it around in their favor for something good, and we laugh. But that is a powerful expression, because one expression is going to produce. If it's always the worst angle, the worst possible thing that could happen, that is going to produce what? More stress, more anxiety. It'll produce harmful chemicals in the body. Because if you're into this, what you think could happen, the worst that could happen, you throw yourself into the body's trauma response, which is what? Fight, flight, or freeze. You got to do one or the other, because now, you're getting ready. And we've been in fight, flight, or freeze for a while. But again, you're producing chemicals that are doing nothing more but destroying your body and keeping you. You can't live in an environment of constant being on guard, waiting. It's not healthy for you. But the other perception, where you reframe things into a more positive light, that gets you into a response that helps you to remain open to greater possibilities. What is possible? Yes, this happened, but this could lead to something that is possibly good. What else could happen? That frame of mind keeps you more energetically, emotionally, and psychologically able to press on, able to press through, because it gives you energy, right? So one of those ways that drains your energy, right? It drains your energy and your strength and your resolve. But the other way of seeing and percepting a perception of life gives you strength. It strengthens your resolve to keep going, to keep pressing forward, to have hope, right? But it's all in where? It's all in your head. It's how you choose to see it and name it, and thus how you experience it. It's no wonder that Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren," this is Paul speaking, "finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," and I would put with a big T, truth, "whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. There's a purpose behind thinking on these things. That which is just, that which is true, that which is affirming, that which holds possibilities. Yes, this thing has manifested. Yes, this situation is here. But think on the things that are lovely and true and the possibilities of what may be. What's the virtue that you can find in this situation? What is the praise you can offer in this situation, right? Because this is going to help you. Why? Because doing that will not only change, it'll change the trajectory of your life. It'll change the trajectory of where your mind is going to take you. It will actually change your brainwave patterns, right? It'll change your brainwave patterns so that by your outlook alone, and this is a part of quantum physics that says what we look upon changes the thing we're looking at. If you're looking at life in a certain way, you are influencing it. You are affecting how that experience now is yours. And so this is really important because when we can change the way we're looking at things, we are changing our brain waves, and the perceptions will then, our perceptions will change accordingly to the way we're seeing and thinking. I've been really trying to mind my mind these days and to reframe my approach to my thoughts or to the quality and the direction of my thoughts. Even if something carries negative elements to it, I'm training myself to reframe it in a positive way that is able to then calm my fear-based thinking or my trauma-based thinking. So it calms down my perception so that I can maybe see a new thing, see it a new way, and that I could then gain some access, right? Gain access to the energy I need to deal with or handle the situation. Simply by minding my mind, reframing how I'm working with it. And I'll give you an example. So instead of holding, and it's taken me a minute to come to that, but I'm at this place now. But instead of holding the vibration and the thought that I could have a condition that not only threatens my life or is life-threatening, but it could be life-ending. Now, instead of waiting in that possibility, waiting in those thinking, that thinking, which I did for a minute, right? Which would do nothing more than stop you in your tracks, right? And cause you to experience overwhelm or fear or any of those kind of things. I decided I needed to reframe the experience into a vision of presence, into a vibration of presence. And so I began saying to myself, what a blessing! What a blessing and a sacred gift I have to be given the opportunity to live more consciously. To live more consciously, right? To live with a sense of urgency. An urgency. I have an urgency to live well. I have an urgency, right? To live in the now moment. So when I go in my closets, I now look and I say, ooh, what do I have? I'm not going to buy, you know, too much new stuff. I don't need new stuff. But what haven't I worn before? Oh, let me see. I haven't worn this in a long time. And you know what? I've always been afraid to put this with this. I'm going to put this with this. Woo, because I like the way it feels. Or do the things that you want to do. You know what? I got some new. I want to do this. I want to travel more. I'm going to Sedona. I'm taking people I love with me. I'm going to sit and meditate with the Red Rocks. I'm going to still do what I do, but I want to do that. I want to rent a house, and I want to take certain friends, and we all get together and just simply for the weekend or a couple of days, play cards, have a good time, eat, then go again with my family, bring them together, have a good time. Do what you feel you want to do in the now moment, right? And I'm saying, ooh, what a blessing. And I'm saying, relate to the people. Who haven't I talked to in a while? Let me call them. Who haven't I connected with? Or who have I been estranged from? Let me reach out now. Let me heal now. I'm doing things that are helping me to live more consciously now. What a gift. I don't know when my exit strategy will be or exit plan. None of us do. We don't. But I decided, ooh, but while I'm here, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to live it. So I had to reframe, but it took me a minute to get there. So my perception is I get to change and reframe what this could be. This could be. This is a possibility. But so is this. I'm choosing this, you know. So this is how it works. We get to, you know, reprogram the brain. I'm not going to bore you with a whole lot of scientific facts on the neuroplasticity of our brains and how by thinking a particular thought over and over and over again sets up a neurological pathway so that when you even think about having the experience, you're going to have the same reaction, the same experience again and again and again because you have trained your brain to take you there. And so the brain takes you there because you have a pathway. Well, and you'll keep having that, you know, experience over and over and over again until you decide to do what? Create a new neural pathway. Now, that's going to take a little bit because you've been thinking this way, saying this thought, feeling this way over and over. Now you're going to have to retrain and say this thought over. Say this. So this is why the power of, you know, affirmations, not just some la-di-da stuff, but you got to work it. You got to work this thing. You got to mind your mind. And work what you want to have and reprogram. So this is the thing. We get to program and reprogram our brains so that they follow the path we want it to follow. So that our lives take the direction we want it to go in. So that our thoughts and feelings begin to serve us well. We're the masters. Right? That's what she, we are the masters of our mind. So what state you're in, the state of mind that you're in, is in your control. Sometimes people say, well, I can't help the way I think. Yes, you can. Well, I can't help the way I feel. Yes, you can. But we have to recognize we hold the power. We hold the power. And it's work. It's work, right? So we have to work with, you know, making sure that our sense of well-being, our sense of mental health, our energy and freedom and sense of freedom to live healthy, happy lives and balanced lives, that it helps, that we have a say in it. We have an ability to work with what's taking place in our inner domain. I love the lyrics to Bob Marley's Redemption song. And he says, emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. Meaning we somehow the mind is just doing us over and we're just saying it and thinking it. No. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Nobody can free your mind but you. Nobody can bring you that sense of well-being but you. We think it's certain conditions and certain circumstances. Now, when I get this, then I'm going to be good. I'm going to feel good. Well, when this happens, then I'm going to... No. You get to determine your state of well-being right here and right now. None but ourselves can free our minds. So, you know, are your thoughts and your feelings, are they keeping you bound, down, feeling hopeless? Are you caught up in repetitive thinking and repetitive experiences? Is the world a scary place? Or is it one that is exciting, teeming with adventure and delving into the unknown? Or is it one that's filled, ooh, the unknown, there's danger there, don't go there. But, you know, that's growth. That's life. That's how we are going to unfold as we venture into life with an open-hearted expectation of good, of excitement, of God. Proverbs 2:23, verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart. So thinking in your heart, again, implies a union between your thoughts and your feelings. That you just can't think something because your thoughts are going to produce a feeling. You just can't feel something because it's going to produce a thought there. You've got to work. Think and feel in alignment, because that is what you're going to become. This is what you're going to become. So you want to get them both right. You want to get them in alignment with one another. But you also want to make sure that whatever I'm thinking, whatever I'm feeling, that it's serving me well. Ask yourself, is this thought serving me well? Is this feeling serving me well? You know, is it a nagging thought that is trying to propel me to address it or do something positive? Or is it a nagging thought that keeps dragging me down and dragging me under? You've got to be able to mind your mind to figure out what is what, which is which, right? So, you know, are your thoughts giving you life, affirming life, energy? Are they leading you to hope and possibility? Or are they leading you someplace else? If your mind isn't serving you well, change it. It's as simple. If your mind isn't serving you well, change it. Change your mind. Change your mind about everything. That's where I am right now. I'm changing my mind about everything. Why not? This is the time to do it. I've got to change my mind about everything. Is this thought serving me well? Is this where I want to go? Is this what I want to experience? What do I want? If I don't want to experience that, then what do I want to experience? Then let me change my mind to move in that direction, that path. This is our time to do that. This is our gift. Charles Fillmore, the co-creator of Unity, used to say, I reserve the right to change my mind. And I like that. You could be 99 years old and doing something for 99 years in a particular way, but you have the right to change your mind. See, that's what repentance is all about. People think it's just about giving up. Repentance means metanoia, changing, turning around. Sometimes you got to turn around to turn things around. Turn around. Turn your mind around, your thoughts around, your feelings around. So that it comes back around right the way in which you needed to and wanted to. It's a gift. This is our gift from the divine, from God. And while God never changes, we do. God never changes, but we do. And do we need to change our thoughts and feelings to be more in alignment with God, with the good, with the divine? We have that ability. And if so, turn around. Change your mind. We're in a state of evolution constantly. We are evolving into greater good. We should be evolving into a higher, better version of ourselves. No more, this is the way that I am. This is the way that I've always been. This is the way that I've always done it. You might be needing to do a new thing. And sometimes when we get stuck in the old thing, the universe is going to say, I'm going to give you an opportunity for a new thing. So rather than go that way, kicking and screaming and fighting, and why don't you approach life as, ooh, is there a new thing that needs to be done in my life? How can I be a higher, better version of myself, right? What is the story I want to tell about my life? What is the narrative that I want to have, that I want to hold in my mind? I'm looking forward to, I'll be going again to Sedona every couple of months. I feel like I want to go, I'm going to go. But this next time I go, I'm going to be spending time writing my story. I just want to tell my own narrative of my life. I want to take time to look at my own narrative of all of how my life is unfolding and what it is that I want to see, the narrative I want to tell, the story I want to tell. where I want my mind to go, where I want my life to unfold. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. And then he says, won't you help me sing another song of freedom? A redemption song. You know, Bob was such a modern day prophet. And we've had many of the modern day prophets. But I just was focused on that. Free your mind and your life will follow. It's as simple as that. If we remember, it's all in your head. Blessings. Well, blessings. Blessings.